Miramax Films presents in association with Margaret Rose Perenchio, a Ventana Rossa production, in association with Lionsgate Films. A peacock trailing its long green tail strolls across a sunny blue-walled courtyard past an array of earthenware pots, bird cages, Mexican statuary and cacti. A film by Julie Taymor starring Salma Hayek, Alfred Molina, Valeria Golino, Mia Maestro, Roger Rees, Diego Lana, Patricia Reyes Spindola, Margarita Sang, and Jeffrey Rush. Four men in straw hats carefully maneuver a four-poster single bed across the courtyard and along a blue-painted corridor past several red-faced, gaping-mouthed papier-mâché sculptures. Based on the book by Hayden Herrera, screenplay by Chauncey Segal, Diana Lake, Jeffrey Nava, and Anna Thomas. The men ease the carved wooden bed up into the back of the truck outside the cobalt blue painted house.
Careful, guys. This corpse is still breathing.
A woman with dark eyebrows that meet in the middle lies in the bed.
Try to get me there in one piece.
She wears a gilt necklace and a black and orange dress. A slim woman in a short-sleeved black dress with pearls climbs into the back of the truck and squeezes the invalid's hand. She's joined by a darker-skinned Mexican woman. The men fasten the back of the truck. The title, Frida, in shaky handwriting. The truck pulls away with two men holding onto two of the bedposts to keep it secure. As the truck jolts on the dirt road, the woman in the bed winces. The words amor and tesoro mio are embroidered on her pillow. Her dark eyes look up at her pale reflection in the mirrored canopy above her head. A faint smile crosses her red lips as she thinks back to when she was a girl. Sprinting down a polished floor under a portico, school books in her hand, colliding with an elderly man as she rounds a corner.
Hello, Professor.
Hello, Frida.
Frida, in a white blouse, black skirt and white stockings, dashes off, her short, dark, wavy hair framing her eager young face.
Diego Rivera is back in the auditorium.
What?
With a naked woman.
Frida's fellow students follow her across the courtyard in Mexico City, 1922. She and her friends crawl on all fours behind a wrought-iron balustrade, overlooking a dimly lit stage, where a nude model sits posed, with knees drawn up, head thrown back. Diego Rivera is sketching her in a mural. The young peeping toms peer over the top of the balcony. A woman comes into the auditorium with a basket.
Why is this whore still here?
Rivera looks up irritably.
Huh? Tell me, mi amor. Are you planning to have her after lunch? Or have you fucked her already?
Lupe, please don't start.
You think I don't know what's going on? You must think I'm an idiot.
I can't work like this.
Yes, you can. You're food and you slut. That's all you need to paint your bitchin' murals.
Hey! Get out!
And don't come home. Don't come home and give me one of your speeches about the artist and the people and your fucking revolution. You only care about yourself, you piece of shit.
Lupe storms out after flinging the contents of the lunch basket at her husband.
So much for lunch.
Frida and her friend Alex are kissing.
Although, I could eat you, perhaps. I've eaten female flesh before. Yeah. Yes. Wrapped up in tortillas.
Alex and Frida stop their own canoodling to watch Rivera run his hand along the model's breasts.
Tastes like the tenderest young pig.
He bends down to kiss her smooth, unblemished skin. Frida behind the wrought iron balustrade gazes in awe as Rivera's mouth moves languorously down the woman's belly.
Watch out, Diego Lupe's coming back!
Artist and model sit up. Rivera brandishes a pistol.
Fucking punks! Come on, you little anarchists! Come on, light another one of your firecrackers if you dare!
The students crawl away, trying to stifle their giggles. Frida stands up, her white blouse clearly visible in the darkness.
Just keeping you honest, Panson.
She turns on her heel with a superior air.
Panson. Do I look fat to you?
In a closet in Frida's house, she and Alex are making love.
Shh.
Frida, hastily buttoning up her blouse, stumbles out of the closet. She waits as her mother and sister walk past the window, then dashes across the room. The closet door opens and Alex staggers out, pulling up his trousers, his unbuttoned shirt falling off his shoulders. He doubles back to retrieve his cap and jacket. Frida strolls into the kitchen. Her sister Christina looks up.
Frida, we found the most beautiful fabric for my wedding dress today.
Fantastic.
It costs a fortune.
Frida points behind her with a frantic grin. Christina sighs disapprovingly, but gives in to Frida's imploring look.
Mama?
Yes?
Are these ripe?
They should be, let me see.
Their mother Matilda comes over to the fruit table, allowing Alex to sneak out unseen.
Maybe you'll get married too one day.
One can only hope.
Lunch is almost ready. Go get the artist.
Frida gazes at a black and white photo of a young girl with a baby.
I love this one. It's beautiful.
I like it too.
She's with her father, Guillermo.
They're busy with the wedding. Christina is so excited about her dress.
Good. Everyone should be excited when they get married.
She helps him take off his apron.
I suppose. If that's what you want.
What do you want?
He holds out his wet arms. She pulls down his shirt sleeves.
I don't know. I just don't think that marriage is for everyone.
You need a good reason to do it. Just like with anything else.
What do you think matters most for a good marriage?
A short memory.
She helps him on with his jacket.
Why did you get married, Papa?
I can't remember. So I could have you.
He nudges her gently in the back as they leave the room.
Concentrate, everybody.
Wait, where is Frida?
Adriana, go tell your sister to hurry up.
Plain-featured Adriana goes off to look for Frida, who appears in a man's grey suit, her black hair combed back. Christina grins at Frida, who fixes a red rose into her lapel. Matilda sighs with exasperation. Guillermo's eyes twinkle.
I always wanted a son.
He stands behind a camera waiting to take the family photo.
And Matilda, everyone, eyes to the camera, and...
In the black and white snap, Frida stands with one hand thrust into her trouser pocket. Later, she and Alex stand gazing up at Rivera's creation mural. Alex looks at his watch.
Come on, we'll miss our boss.
Frida, mesmerized by the painting, is rooted to the spot. Alex grabs her by the arm and drags her away. Students and teachers pour down the steps of the college past a line of trinket stalls. Frida and Alex walk arm in arm. Frida crosses to a stall.
Frida!
How much is the galaka?
Frida, come on!
Alex puts a protective arm around her slim shoulders and moves her on.
It's the bus!
We'll take the next
no,
one.
No, come, don't come!
They run after a bus as it passes a corner, causing a car to brake suddenly. Frida, running on ahead, is determined to catch the bus. She bangs on the side of the vehicle and clambers up into it.
Anyway, I just don't think he's completely apolitical, that's all.
But that's because you read it after you read Marx. You always read things in the wrong order.
That's ridiculous. Why should it matter what order you read it in?
Because if you have already read Marx, then of course Hegel is gonna seem political. But the truth is the idea of history as a dialectic just predicts Marx, which is not the same as affirming him specifically.
A house painter...
For the ceiling of the opera house...
...tips some gold leaf into Frida's palm. The driver impatiently veers into the middle of the road to pass the slow wood-paneled trolley bus in front of him. Putting his foot down, the driver manoeuvres the bus into a left-hand turning, cutting across the trolley coming up on the inside. The collision throws the passengers off their balance amid falling gold leaf and dust. Frida, her face speckled with gold, and Alex smile at one another as the bus moves backwards. Frida turns and sees almost in slow motion the corner of a building looming towards them. As glass shatters round them, a blue hummingbird flutters out of a young man's hand. Fruit tumbles to the ground under the passengers' feet. Men and women are hurled into the air by the force of the crash. As Frida tumbles, a metal handrail comes down on top of her. She lies on her back, half buried in the shattered wooden floor of the bus, her body twisted and bleeding. Her legs akimbo have been gilded by the specks of gold leaf that drift down towards her in the eerie stillness. A distorted white light flashes and fades. Two luminous hospital chairs stand on either side of a patch of red. A skeletal puppet with a bald head masticates with its bony jaw. A smaller skeleton in Mexican hat rattles. Searchlights beam onto a hospital bed. Fleeting skeletal figures scamper by. One mops its bony brow. Another hollow-eyed skull wields a distorted backbone on a trolley. A surgeon skeleton with a lamp fixed to its hat scratches its head as it makes notes, its red tongue slobbering.
The spinal column was broken, as were the collarbone and two ribs. The pelvis is broken in three places. The metal rod entered the right side of the body and came out the vagina.
The right leg has 11 fractures, and the foot was crushed.
Can she ever walk again?
Let's make sure she lives first.
In hospital, Frida's mouth gapes in a silent scream. A female nurse wields a syringe. In a hospital ward, Frida lies flat on her back in a wooden cot, her legs, arms, and torso encased in plaster. One leg is held in the harness. Her sister Christina sits at her bedside, knitting. Frida's eyes open. Slowly she turns her head and sees her stylish older sister sitting on the chair next to her.
Is Alex alive?
Frida!
Is he all right?
He was hurt, but not terribly. He was here yesterday when you were not awake.
And Mama?
It was too much for them, Friducha. They were at home.
How long have I been here?
3 weeks.
Gloomily, Frida turns her head away from Christina. An ambulance slowly turns into a street of pink-walled houses. A man in a white medical uniform gets out. Frida is carried on a stretcher.
We're almost there.
Christina walks alongside, holding Frida's hand. She gives their father a reassuring squeeze. Matilda, half hidden by a pillar, watches the stretcher come into the house, but makes no move to come forward. In her unlit bedroom, Frida lies motionless, strapped up in a body cast, on her back, staring at the ceiling. And night passes into day, and into night again. Her torso is rigid. Her chest, lower body, and right leg are still encased in plaster. Her head stirs at the sound of voices.
I will sell some of my equipment.
Another operation that probably won't work?
No. Listen, maybe this time it will work.
And then how will you make money?
I'll paint portraits again.
Admit it, Guillermo. She'll never walk again.
Alex arrives at the veranda door with a bunch of flowers.
Go on in, Alex. She's waiting for you.
Alex, doffing his cap, goes to see Frida, who's lying in bed with a sketch pad, doing a pencil drawing of her right foot. She beams as he comes into the room.
Hello, ugly.
He's brought a bunch of red roses.
They're beautiful.
How do you feel?
Like I've been hit by a bus. Oh, come on, silly. Come sit with me. Look, it's my only good angle at the moment.
No, it's not. I don't like you this way. You're easier to keep up with.
He bends down to kiss her on the mouth. He produces some books.
Spengler, because you love him. Schopenhauer, because it's good for you.
Oh, Alex, you know I adore you. I've missed you so much.
She presses his fingers to her chest, clasping them in both hands.
I told the doctor the handrail had taken my virginity.
I'm sure he believed you.
She strokes his face.
You know, when I get out of this cast, I'm going to show you a couple of things I still remember from people.
He pulls away, awkwardly.
Okay. My aunt and my uncle are leaving for Europe and they've invited me to come along.
But that's wonderful. When would you leave?
Soon. Next week.
How long will you be gone?
We're going for 2 months and afterwards I might stay on at the Sorbonne. I will be staying on.
She turns her head away. Alex watches her uncomfortably. She gropes for a pencil and starts to draw on her cast.
Did I tell you that I'm going to walk again?
Yes.
Do you believe it?
Of course I do.
You'd better. Because you're going to miss it.
Look, Friedrich,
I want you to leave before I finish this butterfly.
Alex, leaning across her unhappily, bends down to kiss her, caressing her face. But Frieda does not respond, keeping her eyes firmly focused on her drawing. As Alex slips out through the glass veranda doors, Frieda's face creases up as she begins to sob. And time passes. Frieda sits upright in a harness, her arms holding onto straps above her, her head held rigid in a pointed plaster cast, tears of pain rolling down her cheeks as doctors carefully bind her into a new cast on her upper body. Outside her bedroom, Guillermo, with his head leaning against the pale pink wall, sits waiting, his hands clasped together. In bed, Frieda tries to breathe deeply to fight the pain. The top of her cast is covered in butterfly drawings.
How are you feeling?
How am I feeling? I can't even remember what it felt like before the pain. Isn't that horrible?
Dr. Farrell is coming on Monday. He is bringing a back specialist, Dr. Stabentis.
Like some rich girl with a new suitor every week. But all my suitors have turned into doctors.
Her father holds her hands in his.
Oh, I'm not a rich girl, Papa. How come you never ask me about my plans anymore? Used to always say, tell me your plans, Frieda.
He smiles wistfully.
What are your plans, Frieda?
Right now I'm a burden, but I hope to be a self-sufficient cripple one day. After that, I don't know.
You are not a burden, my love. See, here.
He turns away from the bed.
We have something for you. Mathilde!
And produces an easel.
We noticed that there was no more room left on your cast, so...
He props the easel onto the bed in front of her with a sketch block and a bag of brushes. Frieda pulls herself up. Guillermo sits behind her and wraps his arms around her. Matilda, looking on, smiles hopefully. Later, Frida's looking up into a mirror above her head, her cast covered in butterflies, and she's holding a palette of bright colors in one hand, and with her other hand is painting a portrait of herself. With her back propped up on her pillows, her arm is at full stretch to reach the easel that is positioned at an angle across her legs in the bed. Sometime later, a pair of plaster cutters slice through the back of her cast. As the doctor prepares to remove the cast, Frieda screws up her eyes with pain, watched by Christina. The doctor prizes open the cast. It comes away from her chest, exposing her young breasts sprinkled with plaster dust. She covers them with her hands and sinks into her sister's arms. In the courtyard of their house, Christina, in a simple white dress, is having her portrait painted by Frieda, who's in a wheelchair. Nearby, their old nanny sits with Christina's baby. Frieda, her face fierce with concentration, applies red paint to the lips. She sits back from the canvas and smiles.
Now you look like a gringa movie star.
Eagerly, Christina gets up to look. She strokes Frida's head, planting a kiss on her forehead as their parents walk by.
Mama, Papa, I have a surprise.
Her dark eyes burning with determination, Frieda, in her wheelchair, places her bare feet on the ground. She wriggles her toes and, putting her weight on her arms, draws herself up onto her feet.
Careful now.
Christina puts a restraining hand on Guillermo's arm. And Frieda, her long hair combed in two plaits, tentatively brings her right foot forward, and then her left. Despite the pain, she staggers towards her family, slowly placing her full weight onto her feet. Joyfully, she embraces her parents. Oh. On a sunny day, Frida, wearing a long, vivid orange-red dress with a bundle of canvases under one arm and leaning heavily on a stick with the other, waits as a taxi comes down the street. Her face tense and drawn, she looks uncertainly at the rickety vehicle. The taxi trundles along the street with Frida riding in the back with the other passengers. She limps through an archway leading to the open, sunny, porticoed courtyard of a grey stone building. Diego Rivera is painting a mural on an upper balcony. Frida looks up to where Rivera, wearing a broad-brimmed hat and denim dungarees, is working with a male assistant.
I need the ogre. Is it ready?
Almost.
No, I need it now.
Okay, I can stay.
He takes a mocha and a thin brush from the assistant. Frida plucks up her courage.
Señor Rivera!
Rivera is applying rapid brush strokes to the mural.
Diego!
Who are you? What do you want?
I have something important to discuss with you.
I'm working.
I'll wait.
I don't have time to chat with schoolgirls.
I'm not a schoolgirl, Panzón.
He stops painting and turns to look at her standing below.
Okay, come on up here.
No, you come down.
Rivera chuckles, gives the tin plate of ochre back to his assistant, and jumps down from his wooden paint platform. Frida waits for him, leaning nervously against a pillar. She props her stick up against the column and smooths back her hair. He lumbers down the stairs towards her.
What?
Look, I didn't come here for fun or to flirt. I've done some paintings which I want you to look over professionally, and I need an absolutely straightforward opinion of my work.
You were that girl in the auditorium.
Yes, I was, but that has nothing to do with now. I just want your serious opinion.
What do you care about my opinion? If you're a real painter, you'll paint because you can't live without painting. You'll paint till you die, okay?
I have to work to earn a living, so I don't have time to fool around just for vanity. If I'm not good enough, I have to do something else to help my parents.
He strolls back towards her.
Leave the best one here. Go home and paint another one. If this one's any good, I'll come and look at that one on my day off.
He goes back upstairs and later comes down talking to a reporter.
Orozco is a true artist. He's tremendous. And Siqueiros could be great if he'd pull his head out of his own ass and look around.
The two men walk past Frida's self-portrait propped up against the pillar. Rivera doubles back. Puffing slowly on his cigar, he scrutinizes the painting of Frida with her joined-up eyebrows. Pinned to a corner of the picture is Frida's address. At home in the courtyard, Frida, her hair in two connected plaits, and wearing a mannish shirt and grey trousers, is reading and smoking a cigarette. She looks up to see Diego Rivera in his broad-brimmed hat standing in her doorway. She strides towards him.
Comrade Rivera.
She holds out her hand.
What a nice surprise.
They shake hands. In her room, he examines her paintings of Cristina, the family, her self-portraits. He stands with his back to Frida.
What if I told you that easel painting like yours is finished? That it's headed for the trash like other elitist bourgeois pastimes?
I'd say cut the propaganda.
That makes him smile.
Yeah, this is very good work. You have real talent.
Oh, come on. I'm not looking for your compliments. I want a serious critique.
But I'm being sincere. These are very original paintings. None of the usual tricks.
But that's not specific.
You have to trust a true compliment as much as a critique.
Yeah, well, some people have told me not to trust what you say. They say if a girl asks your opinion and she's not a complete fright, you'll gush all over her.
He grins wryly.
I need you to tell me one thing, honestly. Do you actually believe that I should continue to paint?
Yes.
Her dark eyes look up at him searchingly.
Yes.
And her worried frown gives way to a smile. At a party on a landing around a central atrium, two women and a man are dancing the Charleston. On the ground floor, Frida and Diego come into the hallway.
She's a brilliant photographer. One of the few with real taste. You know Alvarez Bravo?
I know his work. No. It's good.
I'll introduce you to him. He'll want to photograph you.
Without clothes, of course.
Of course.
Tall, heavily built Diego leads the diminutive Frida upstairs.
That's the thing about these radicals. They're a little dangerous, but they definitely throw the best parties.
Il mostro!
Tina!
Tina, a slim, attractive woman in a strappy black dress, kisses Diego on both cheeks.
This is Frida Kahlo. She's a wonderful painter.
She wants to be a wonderful painter.
Ah, don't be shy. Nobody really thinks their own stuff is good except Diego. He's the only one who's sure. Go find Siqueiros. He's been bad-mouthing him again. You, come with me.
Tina puts a welcoming arm around Frida and escorts her into the thick of the party.
Everybody, I have someone for you to meet. This is Frida Kahlo. She came with Diego. Another pretty girl for Crystal.
In a next-door room, Frida stands gazing thoughtfully at a display of black and white photographs mounted on the wall. She turns her gaze to a portrait of a man in profile.
She's quite a talent, no?
An auburn-haired woman speaks to her.
Julio Mella, the Cuban. Tina took the last photo of him. She was with him on the street when they gunned him down.
She turns to see Diego surrounded by girls.
Incredible. They're like clay in his hands.
It must be that body.
No. It's the way he looks at you and finds beauty in all your imperfections. It's irresistible. You never think it to look at him, but he's had half the women here. I'm sorry, did you come with him?
Oh, we're just friends. I'm Frida Kahlo. I'm a painter.
Painter, no wonder. I'm Luca Marin.
I'm his wife. I was his wife.
Good luck to you.
Lupe gives Frida a resigned smile and moves off.
Badmouth him all you want, Diego. Well, we have been talking about socialism, you know, over drinks and parties for 10 years. Study, it's making it work.
Well,
he's achieving it.
Achieving what? His only big idea so far is to throw out all the real thinkers in the land.
Well, he just threw you out.
No, not just me.
No, not just you. Mr. Trotsky, a man who plays the martyr, when in truth, he was rejected by his own country.
Good riddance.
No. He had to run for his life. Stalin would have had him shot. That's his version of socialism. Kill anyone who disagrees with you.
Well, some people have to get shot in a revolution.
I prefer evolution. Educate the poor. Mobilize the workers. Rise like a slow tide. You'll have your revolution and kill half the poor to save them.
Diego, this from a communist who is getting rich, painting for the government. Wealthy patron.
I can't help it if the rich have good taste.
The rich don't have good taste. They pay someone to have good taste for them. And they don't hire you because you're good. They hire you because you assuage their sense of guilt. They use you, Diego. And you are too vain to see it.
No! No! No!
Diego's bullet hits a phonograph next to Siqueiros. Tina slams down a bottle of whiskey.
Basta. Whoever takes the biggest swig can dance with me.
Siqueiros looks challengingly up at Diego, who slides the bottle towards him. Diego sits back down next to Siqueiros. Tina leans provocatively over the other side of the table as Siqueiros swigs from the bottle. He pushes the bottle to Diego.
Bravo.
Diego takes a swig.
I'd rather have an intelligent enemy than a stupid friend.
Diego spits out the whiskey with a broad grin. Siqueiros grins wryly at Diego. Frida picks up the bottle, and she too takes a swig. As she drinks, Diego watches her with amusement. Both men stare open-mouthed as Frida near empties the bottle. Frida, in a strappy orangey-red dress, gulps and smiles invitingly at Tina.
Shall we?
The two men shift uncomfortably as Frida and Tina, smiling coyly, take to the dance floor. Frida whispers to the singer who cues the musicians. Siqueiros sniggers lamely. As the two women, one tall, one petite, link arms, their oval olive-skinned faces framed by their smooth dark hair, parted in the centre and pinned back. Arms entwined, the two women dance a sensuous tango, cheek to cheek. As they turn, Frida breaks away. Tina kneels on the wooden floor, extending her arm to Frida, who takes a drag of Lupe's cigarette. Siqueiros is enjoying the spectacle. Frida kneels next to Tina, wrapping her arms around Tina's bare back. As they both slowly rise, she bends her backwards, seductively. Tina lightly taps Frida's chin. Frida bends her head back, letting Tina's finger play with her neck. As the two women swirl around arm in arm, Diego is transfixed. Frida caresses Tina's neck from behind. As the music reaches its climax, Frida kisses Tina on the mouth. The two girls grin as they break from each other's embrace and take a bow. Later, Frida, wearing a red blouse and black trousers, one hand resting on the barrel of a rifle and the other cradling a bayonet, stands ramrod still as Diego Rivera, perched on a stool, paints her into his mural. Tina turns the handle of a press, churning out copies of a newspaper, a red banner sporting a hammer and sickle is propped up by a window. Men are making up bundles for distribution. Diego is typing what Frida's dictating to him. The two of them lead a street protest. Banners read, "The Union of Workers, Artists, Painters, Sculptors of Mexico, and Death to Imperialism." After dark, Diego and Frida emerge from their HQ.
More women.
So next time I make sure that happens, okay?
He shakes hands with a comrade and turns to Frida.
Miss Callum?
She takes his arm as they walk.
You may have to hold me up.
That Doris is a good man, but he's got to be much more careful.
Diego in his broad-brimmed hat and Frida in a flat cap arrive at the door of a brick building.
What is this? Your studio?
One of the benefits of being party leader, you can arrange for the drinking to be done close to home. And now that you are officially a comrade, I believe I can let you see it if you like.
Hey, listen. If you think I'm going to sleep with you just because you've taken me under your wing, you're wrong.
Me? I was painting murals and womanizing in peace when you came along. Anyway, sex is like pissing. People take it much too seriously. In Russia, oh my God, in Russia, everyone was fucking like rabbits.
Well, this isn't Russia.
No, thank Christ. I have a proposal. We will not sleep together. We will solemnly swear, right here, right now, that we will be friends only.
Fine.
He takes off his hat.
Comrades, colleagues, and friends forever.
He holds out his hand to her. She solemnly takes it in hers, steps forward, and kisses him on the lips. The street lights come on around them.
Did you arrange for that?
Cost me a fortune.
He squeezes her playfully and leads her away. Later, in the privacy of the bedroom, Frida sits on Diego's lap on the edge of the bed. Their arms around each other as they kiss. Carefully, he starts to unbutton her blouse. She nuzzles his neck. She eases off her blouse and he kisses her smooth skin.
I have a scar.
Let me see it.
She stands up and undoes the back of her skirt. With her back to him, she lets him run his hands over her slender waist down to the long, livid scar near the base of her spine.
You're perfect. Perfect.
He bends forward to kiss the scar. Her eyes close as she lets his hands move upwards from her flat belly, venturing under her satin bra and cupping her breasts. The next day, arms around each other's waists, they wander through a street market. Frida gulps down a piece of fruit. They both laugh and hug each other. They move on past the arched columns flanking the market and come to another fruit stall. Diego picks up two melons and sniffs them for ripeness, holding them up in front of him.
Mmm, I always knew
always wanted a man with melones bigger than mine.
He puts down the melons and hugs her again.
You know what I've always loved?
He picks up a gourd.
A girl with cojones.
She takes the gourd and holds it against her, lewdly jabbing it at a passerby. He sits her up on a pile of gourds. Later, they're sitting up in bed, cuddling. Diego stroking Frida's hair, looks across at her paintings.
These are good, Frida. I love them.
Hmm. You were probably painting better when you were 12.
It's nonsense. I could never paint like this. I'm good, I'm serious. I paint what I see. The world outside. With you. You paint from here.
He touches her heart.
It's wonderful.
I can see why you're so successful with women.
He rolls her over on her back, his arms enveloping her slim frame, and looks at her intently.
We'll have to get married, you know. The thing is, I think it's quite possible that we were born for each other. So we should marry.
But you don't believe in marriage?
Of course I do. I've had two wives already.
Exactly. You can't be true to only one woman.
True, yes. Faithful. No. Unfortunately, I'm physiologically incapable of fidelity.
Oh, really?
Yes, a doctor acquaintance of mine confirmed this.
What a convenient diagnosis.
Is fidelity that important to you?
She looks away for a moment.
Loyalty is important to me. Can you be loyal?
To you? Always.
Good. Because I love you, Benzo.
Friducha.
And they embrace once again. Dark-skinned Aurora, in a green dress with a fiery red shawl, is pinning Frida's wedding veil. Her white gown has a high collar with a necklace of ruffles, complementing the four tiers of the dress. Aurora smiles approvingly as Frida looks at herself in the mirror.
What a beautiful bride you are.
Frida turns to Aurora, her eyes shining. At her home, Diego sits in an armchair as Frida's parents appear on the other side of a glass door.
You have to come.
Don't touch.
Oh, you think I'm going to hit you?
But he's divorced twice. He's had God knows how many children. And he's an atheist, Guillermo.
Perhaps you have forgotten this, and forgive me for reminding you, but I am a German Jew, and you married me, remember?
Yes. Mm. He's also a communist.
A communist who is generous enough to pay off our mortgage.
It's like the marriage of an elephant and a dove.
Reluctantly, Matilda follows her husband into the room where Diego and the wedding guests are waiting. Guillermo greets one of the men as Matilda sits down. Diego rises to his feet as Frida appears in the doorway, in a green dress with an orangey-red shawl, and her characteristic dangling earrings and heavy necklace. Diego gazes at her with a beaming smile. Her dark eyes shine at him adoringly. Frida's portrait of bride and groom, Diego in a dark suit and blue shirt with his palette and brushes in one hand and Frida's hand in the other, comes to life as wedding guests dance around the happy couple. Later, with the wedding party in Tina's apartment in full swing, guests help themselves to food. Matilda sits on a chair by herself. On the balcony, Guillermo and Tina are dancing.
It's been a long time.
Christina and her husband argue.
Christina!
You're not serious. Stay here.
Christina, carrying her little boy, slaps her husband's hand. Lupe, drinking from a large tumbler, is barely listening to the man she's standing with. She turns to see Diego and Frida canoodling in another room. Bitterly, she takes another sip. Two women stand watching as Frida spoon-feeds her husband some cake.
I give them 6 months.
Six. I give them two.
Guests stream into the room to hear Tina speak.
I don't believe in marriage. No, I really don't. Let me be clear about that. I think at worst is a hostile political act, a way for small-minded men to keep women in the house and out of the way, wrapped up in the guise of tradition and conservative religious nonsense. At best, it's a happy delusion. is two people who truly love each other and have no idea how truly miserable they're about to make each other. But when two people know that and they decide with eyes wide open to face each other and get married anyway, then I don't think it's conservative or delusional. I think it's radical and courageous and very romantic. To Diego and Frida.
Diego and Frida.
Sometime later, under a canopy of lace paper wedding decorations, some guests are lolling on the balcony in the dark. Others are inside, where Frida and Diego are singing along, swaying tipsily to the music, Frida resting her head on his strong chest. Diego, wearing Frida's shawl around his neck, has a bottle of wine in one hand. Diego smashes the bottle against the wall.
You know that?
You're crazy.
You son of a bitch! Oh, left these legs.
Oh, Lupe.
Left those
Lupe.
Legs, Diego. You give up these beauties for these matchsticks? This peg leg? Mira.
Lupe tries to lift up Frida's dress. Frida breaks free from Lupe's grasp. Lupe staggers drunkenly out of the room. Frida looks at Diego with hurt disappointment as he casually gulps down another drink. She pushes her way out of the room. His befuddled eyes look puzzled. Tina raises her glass.
Viva la revolución.
Diego sways on his feet. In their bedroom, Frida sitting on the end of the bed, unplaiting her hair as he staggers in.
Ay!
My mother was wrong about you, you know? She said you were an elephant, but you're not. Elephants are strong and courageous, and they defend their maids. You're a toad. You even look like a toad.
And you look like a dog. Dove. Dove. Did I say dog? No, I meant dove.
He leans back and picks up a sketch pad.
You're my little paloma.
She ignores him as he sketches, shaking out her long, wavy hair. He's drawn a dove sitting on the head of a fat toad.
What will people say about such a pair?
They'll have never seen a better match.
He kisses her right shoulder and then the left. She turns to look at him.
Thank you.
For what?
For making a fat old Gracie communist a happy man.
She lets her head drop back against him.
Ah.
In the morning, Frida, in bed under a brown and white cowhide blanket, stirs. She sits up in her white nightdress and smiles. Diego's in the kitchen in shirt and braces, hunched over a plate of food. His eyes look up in mid-mouthful as Frida appears in the doorway. He gets to his feet and she throws her arms around him.
Sit, eat.
He holds the chair out for her and uncovers her plate.
Mi amor.
She picks up her fork and tucks in.
Good, eh?
What a wonderful mole.
Lupe's special recipe.
Well, you've mastered it.
I can't cook to save my life. She brought it down for us while you were sleeping.
Brought it down?
She's in the apartment upstairs with my kids. I let her have it until she finds a place in town.
Frida takes both their plates and tosses them in the bin. She storms out of the kitchen, leaving Diego open-mouthed and hungry. He peers ruefully at the bin. Frida bangs on the door of Lupe's apartment on the floor above.
I'm not just passing through, you know. I'm here to stay.
Is that what you came to tell me?
I'm here to stay. So stay out of my damn kitchen.
Lupe watches Frida go down the stairs.
You like el mole?
So-so.
Well, he lives for it. So if you're here to stay, you better learn how to make it.
I was so angry. He didn't come home for 3 days. Pass me the cilantro. So, I took 2 of his damn Aztec idols that he adores, you know? And I smashed the pieces of clay in the boiling pot of beef stock and told him it was sopa azteca.
Medea, did he eat it?
He did.
Did he like it?
He loved it.
They're in Lupe's kitchen.
Of course, until he found out, then he got sick, he got furious, oof! Didn't make me feel any better. And it definitely didn't stop him from cheating.
Frida's smile fades.
But what the hell?
They clink glasses.
Ruth! Get out! Come on!
Lupe picks up her young daughter and takes her older girl by the hand.
Marie! Come on, let's go. What is it?
Frida watches gravely as Lupe takes her 2 girls into the next room. Lupe comes back.
The other night, I was very drunk.
I know. It's all right.
Lupe takes another sip and slouches over the table.
Oye, niña, Diego has never belonged to anybody. He belongs only to himself. And that, of course, it's what makes him so desirable. He's the best of friends and the worst of husbands. Diego will never be anyone's husband. Not really. We'll see.
You know it's over when he gets the next commission out of town. He'll say he'll send for you. Then he never does.
Señora Rivera?
Yes?
Diego's 2 women exchange a sharp look, followed by a sisterly giggle. Frida, wearing a bright blue dress, her hair plaited at the back, is sitting very upright in front of her easel, a cigarette clamped in her mouth, sketching Lupe in pencil. Blowing smoke out of her nostrils, she turns to look at the clock. It's 1:30. She goes to the kitchen and picks up a straw basket covered in a white linen cloth and takes it to Diego, who's working in a chapel. She comes past a female nude lying on her side on a trestle table, her long brown hair covering her face. Frida throws her arms around Diego and kisses him.
What do you think?
Frida, adopting a critical and proprietorial air, looks at the model and then at the painting.
The tits lack gravity.
Oh, come on.
She cups her own breasts and jiggles them as she saunters off.
Eat your pozole while it's still hot.
Diego, scowling, picks up his charcoal and lowers the curve of the nude's pendulous breasts. A slow smile spreads across his face. At home, Frida, sitting at her mirror, is arranging her hair. Diego comes up behind her. He produces an amber necklace that he fastens around her neck. She clasps it in delight. He kisses her. Later, Frida, in a white puff-sleeved dress, stands waiting by a table laid for 2, with white candles in the center of the lace tablecloth. White napkins and silverware accompany the 2 plates piled with food, yellow and pink petals completing the table decoration. She turns to look at Diego's murals on the walls and ceiling of the chapel. As her eyes scan the monumental figures on the vaulted blue and ochre ceiling, she sees the nude Diego had been painting and smiles as she notices the change he's made to the woman's breasts, just as Diego dashes in through the church door.
It's not like you to be late for lunch, Diego.
I was at the ministry explaining why a history of the Mexican people is an appropriate subject for the Mexican National Palace.
Again?
When I work, they scream about my politics. When I don't work, they scream about the delays. It's a farce.
He kisses her on the forehead. She presses herself against his chest, then steps back.
Diego de puta!
Diego bows his head.
That model, huh?
Yes. It was just a fuck, that's all. I've given more affection in a handshake.
Well, that makes me feel so much better. Was she good, at least?
Not very.
Too bad. She had such a great ass. When you get home, take a good bath. We're going out tonight.
She strides out of the church.
Y ahora sí, maldita bruja.
te chupaste, amigo. Ya te chupaste, amigo. Y ahora sí, maldita bruja.
Frida, wearing a patterned yellow and black top, is leading the singing in a bar. Diego, sitting at a table, glass in hand, watches her cozy up to a young man. Diego's slightly uneasy expression melts into a smile as Frida comes towards him and cups his face in her hands and kisses him on the lips. Everyone clinks glasses and Frida downs Diego's glass.
For tequila!
A young man with long hair sits in the corner of the bar.
Hey! Yeah, you. You know what I think of you and your stinking murals?
The man spits.
Why don't you get the fuck out of here, huh? This is a bar for workers, not for government whores.
Frida tosses her drink into the man's face. Diego and the man grapple and fall to the floor. Frida smashes a bottle over someone else's head. The two-man fight has become a barroom brawl. Later at home.
Siqueiros' voice. Siqueiros is a hero to these fucks, but what's he actually done? Nothing. I put socialism on the government walls. I've got the fascists calling me the most dangerous subversive in the country, and I'm the traitor to the party.
Soon we'll have no one left to drink with.
It's not funny.
I'm not kidding. Tina says they'll kick you out of the party for the palace mural.
They won't have to. I quit.
So you'll quit and keep on working. That's all that matters to you anyway.
I've been offered a show in New York. A solo exhibition at the New Modern Museum. It'd be a wonderful entree. I could get commissions out of it.
Gloomily, Frida stares at Lupe's portrait.
I thought you'd be excited.
I don't care that you're a communist pig.
They can't afford to. All the greatest painters are communist pigs.
That's wonderful, Diego. When do you leave?
As soon as you decide to come with me.
Her face breaks into a smile. She jumps up from her chair and wraps her arms around him.
We'll take Gringolandia by storm.
They set sail.
Dear Tristan, the invasion of Gringolandia has begun. They are never gonna know what hit them. New York has Diego on fire.
What's your impression of New York, Mr. Rivera?
Magnificent. There is no reason why any artist born in our two continents should go to Europe for inspiration. It is all here. The might, the power, the energy, the sadness, the glory and youthfulness of our American lands.
I see the majesty that Diego sees. But all that American comfort is a myth. While the rich drink their coctelitos, thousands are starving. Diego is working almost constantly to prepare for his show. So I have to find ways to entertain myself.
King Kong scoops up a doomed human and puts him in its mouth. Nibbling popcorn, Frida sits in a cinema, smiling to herself as the monster ape clambers up the side of a tall building. In her imagination, she sees Diego peering in through the window of the building, flashing his eyes and baring his teeth as the blonde heroine becomes Frida. King Kong Diego carries Frida off in his hand and climbs to the top of the Empire State Building.
Breaking all records, over 50,000 people have lined up outside New York's new Museum of Modern Art to see the paintings of Mexico's greatest artist, Diego Rivera, the most talked about man this side of the Rio Grande.
A plane carries a streamer that reads, Diego conquers New York.
Señor Diego Rivera!
Diego and a DJ clinks glasses with his hosts.
The gringos are friendly enough. But the most important thing in Gringolandia is to have ambition, to succeed in becoming somebody. And the somebodies are the only ones that interest them. I despise this pretension. Being la gran caca interests me not at all. Of course, Diego loves it. He's like a big Mexican piñata with enough candy for everyone. Everything about this country inspires him.
Diego comes through a revolving door with a pretty redhead, whose bottom he's just pinched. She kisses him and leaves. He comes out of the same door with two women. He kisses them goodbye and grins. This time, a woman in a black suit and a white fox fur. Now Frida and the pretty redhead come out arm in arm and go to a diner.
Two loose eggs, hot cinnamon bun, two black coffees. Anything else?
Thank you.
Are you guys ready?
Sure. The redhead produces a hip flask as Frida starts nibbling her cinnamon bun.
Well, I never thought I'd hear myself say this, but you were better than your husband.
Frida averts her eyes.
You weren't upset about that, were you? I mean, he said you wouldn't be.
Oh, he did, did he? Well, you weren't the first, and you won't be the last.
Why do you put up with it?
Look, Diego's how he is, and that's how I love him. I cannot love him for what he's not. Anyway, my sweet Gracie, I get along just fine.
Frida slips her hand between Gracie's legs. Diego shakes hands with Nelson Rockefeller.
Congratulations, thank you.
Reporters swarm around the two men.
It's a lot of wall.
It always is.
A newspaper headline above a photo of the two men reads, Rivera to paint Rockefeller Lobby, a new and better future.
Please, I have to get back to work. I'm sorry.
Diego, in his painting dungarees, turns away from the reporters. One of them notices Frida painting nearby.
Are you a painter too, Mrs. Rivera?
No. Just killing time.
She's much better than me.
You'll see.
Frida gives Diego a ravishing smile and the reporter takes her picture. Diego grins and resumes his painting of a worker. Later, Diego is in the bath and Frida is sponging his back.
What did the doctor say?
He might be able to improve the pain, but the bones would have to be reset, blah, 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 blah. The usual speech, you know it by heart.
She bends close to his ear.
Can your body take it?
If it can take you, it can take a little Dieguito.
No, Frida.
He's not very optimistic.
This is not... I can't bear to think of you in pain.
I'm used to pain.
This is not... I'm not a good example of... It's not a good time. There's the Rockefeller Commission. Detroit, Chicago, all that traveling. No, it's too much.
Frida sits with her eyes downcast, her arm held across the front of her body. Diego looks up at her.
You really want this baby, Frida?
She turns to face him.
I do.
All right.
She stares disbelievingly.
All right, let's try and have this baby.
They kiss passionately. Diego presses his ear to her belly.
He's reciting the Communist Manifesto.
Some weeks later, Diego is silhouetted in a doorway as he lets himself into the darkened bedroom, their apartment in Detroit. Slowly he tiptoes across the room. He reaches for a table lamp. He rushes to the bed where Frida lies, clutching her belly, the sheet soaked in blood. White-coated medics rush Frida through the corridors of a Detroit hospital, with Diego helping to push the trolley. Later, sitting in a corridor outside her hospital room, he talks to a doctor.
She's lost a lot of blood.
I want to see her.
She needs to sleep. You should go home and try and get some rest.
Frida!
You should be in bed, Mrs. Rivera.
Baby came out in pieces.
Come on, Nina, let's go back to bed.
It never formed properly.
We can try again, but you must rest.
Mrs. Rivera.
He's my son.
Mrs. Rivera.
I want to see him! What did you do with him? I want to see my son!
Mr. Rivera,
what did you do with him?
All right, you get that. I'll take care of him.
Diego puts his arm around Frida to lead her away.
I promise.
Frida, in her hospital gown, goes into her room. A fetus in a jar of formaldehyde sits on a shelf at the foot of Frida's hospital bed. She's propped up on pillows as she paints. Her hospital tray is drawn up in front of her. Occasionally, as she works, she raises her eyes and gazes unflinchingly at the fetus in the jar. Diego visits her as she sleeps. He leans over her, sees the canvas, and picks it up. It shows a naked woman lying on her back on an iron bed, blood staining the white sheets beneath her hips. A tear falls down her cheek. Floating around the bed, tethered by six red umbilical-like cords, which she holds in her hands, are a male fetus, a model of a female torso, a sterilizing device for medical instruments, an orchid, a human pelvis, and a snail. Diego sits in the corridor outside Frida's room looking at the picture, his bear-like body quaking with sobs. Back in their apartment, Diego and Frida are asleep in bed, lying on their sides, Diego nestling up against Frida's back, one arm draped over her body, holding her. One morning he lifts the silver lid of a serving dish, uncovering a plate of delicately sliced fruit.
What the hell is this?
Breakfast.
You trying to kill me? I need fuel to work.
Listen, Panson. If you get any fatter, it's going to be you in the hospital next time.
No, I don't believe in God, but I still thank him every day that he kept you safe for me.
Really? I tell him he's got a lot of explaining to do.
From now on, I'm going to get Abby Rockefeller to bring my breakfast over from 21.
Frida stares at a letter she's just opened and covers her mouth with her hand.
Frida?
In Mexico, Frida slowly opens the door to her mother's bedroom. Matilda is lying in bed, pale and weak. Two women at the bedside praying. Frida lies down on the bed beside her mother, resting her head on Matilda's shoulder and holding her hand. Christina, her left eye badly bruised, stands at the doorway. Later, the sisters sit at a table.
I left him. And that was his parting gift.
They both avert their eyes.
I should have been there for you.
Christina looks up at Frida, reaches across the table and strokes her arm.
You're here now.
She puts her other hand to her face as her eyes well up with tears. In the courtyard, Guillermo leans over one of the raised flower beds, deadheading roses. Frida comes up and puts her hand on his arm.
She'll throw a fit if I let her damn plants die.
He slumps down.
We fought so much. Sometimes I would regret that I ever married her. I would think how I hated her.
Frida sits down next to him.
You do enough damage to one another, you begin to think that way. But then she gets sick and I tend her garden.
He opens his hand to show the faded blooms he's plucked. Frida takes one, carefully tucks it into her hair behind her ear, and leans against her father's shoulder. Later, a priest and mourners gather round an open grave. Frida stands beside Guillermo, resting her head against his chest, as the grave diggers shovel in the earth.
Amen. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga a nosotros tu reino. Hágase tu voluntad en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día.
In his office, Nelson Rockefeller slams down a newspaper headlined, Rivera paints scenes of communist activity, and John D. Jr. foots the bill.
You'd seen my work. You knew my politics when you hired me.
Yes.
Yeah, I showed you the sketches. I discussed them with you and your father.
Yes.
So what the hell were you expecting from me? A line of dancing girls?
No, but nor was I expecting a portrait of Lenin. Now, let's be honest. In the sketches that you showed me originally, it was just some anonymous worker.
He transformed himself into Lenin of his own accord.
No, you transformed him into Lenin because they took shots at us in the paper. Do you really think that my family is influenced by newspaper hacks? I would have defended you. I will defend you against any attack because the work is thrilling, as always. But a portrait of Vladimir Lenin will offend many people, in particular my father. See, you're putting me in an impossible position, so I'm asking you to please change this one detail.
They stare at each other fixedly.
It's against my principles.
Yes, well, you've adjusted your principles to come to our parties and eat at our table. So I hope you will reconsider.
Diego ponders the unfinished Rockefeller Center mural with Lenin's face in the center. Frida comes in.
You've got quite a crowd out there. Half of them think you're the devil.
Diego hugs her.
Half of them think you're a hero.
Tell me honestly what you think.
If you lie down with dogs, you should expect fleas.
No, seriously. This is really frightening me.
Why?
Because I'm actually wondering if he's right. Perhaps I am being foolish. Risking too much.
Diego, you can't lose. Forget about artistic integrity. You've done better ones than this, and you'll do more. But whatever happens, you have aroused people. You've made them get passionate about their ideals. There's not another painter in the world who can say that. He could walk in here tomorrow and tear it down. You'd still have one.
Yeah, maybe.
He swigs from a bottle.
He doesn't have the balls.
Nelson Rockefeller comes into the lobby. Diego looks around from his work. Rockefeller, surrounded by a phalanx of aides, studies the mural. Diego gets down from his platform and holds out his hand.
Senor Rivera, I must ask you one last time to reconsider your position.
Diego's jaw is set.
I will not compromise my vision.
Shaking his head ruefully, Rockefeller nods to an aide who hands Diego an envelope.
In that case, this is your fee, paid in full, as agreed. But your services are no longer required.
It's my painting.
On my wall.
It's the people's wall, you bastard!
Two men restrain Diego as Rockefeller walks out. Diego turns back to the mural. Later, grimly, he watches as it's completely encased in wooden scaffolding. Workmen are standing on it, wielding sledgehammers. They unfurl a huge dust sheet. Slabs of painted plaster crash to the ground behind the sheeting. And fine white dust slowly envelops the site. It clears to reveal a toy-like painted image of the Empire State Building, rising from the steam in a bath. King Kong topples from the radio mast at the top of the building. Frida, lying in a bathtub, blinks as she comes out of her reverie and glances towards the noise from a nearby room. As she turns back, a reflection of the Empire State Building slowly dissolves in her bathwater. She comes through to the kitchen where Diego is slicing vegetables.
Let's go home.
Frida, we have to fight these bastards. They tore down the wall, but the painting is up here. I'll do it again and I'll use his money.
What money? We don't even have enough to get to Chicago.
We're not going to Chicago. They cancel the commission.
He carries on slicing.
It's time to go home.
What? With my tail between my legs.
We don't belong here. I am tired of these people, and I am tired of who you are around them.
He snatches up a painting.
See that? You want the contract? Show that!
He drops the painting and the knife onto the table and storms out.
Yes! I want to go back to that!
Frida looks at the slashed painting of the Mexican cactus. Her eyes drift towards the window. Beyond the glass, snow is falling. On the clothesline outside, swaying in the breeze, is a colourful Mexican skirt and blouse. Back in Mexico, Frida pegs an embroidered blouse onto a washing line up on a flat rooftop. Her pet monkey clambers precariously from her shoulder to the line and starts to chew a corner of the blouse. Aurora brings Frida a tray of food. She takes it from her flat rooftop across a walkway to Diego's cluttered studio in the next-door building, her small black dog trotting ahead of her. Diego sits idly, smoking a cigar.
I'm working.
I can see that. I brought you some lunch. The doctor says you should eat more for once.
Diego waves his hand dismissively. The dog sniffs at one of his paintings, cocks its leg, and pees on it.
Madre!
Diego chases it round the room with a knife.
Diego!
The dog scuttles between tables and chairs.
All right, that's enough! Diego! Diego, stop!
Diego catches the dog by the scruff of its neck, picks it up, sits down heavily in an old green armchair, and lifts the small creature high up into the air.
Lord Xolotl, Prince of Darkness.
You're the best art critic there is.
He strokes the dog.
Only you see what shit this country has made of me.
Frida puts her hand on his shoulder.
Diego, you need help.
Diego runs his hand through his hair and sighs deeply. Later, Frida's with her sister and her children.
Frida, why do you and Diego have separate houses?
Because we are two different people, but our love makes us into one. That's why we have the bridge.
So you mean the bridge is your love?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Then why is it such a small bridge?
Later, Frida and Christina shuck corn.
He's not working. He's sick. He's depressed. He says the people in this country are like mules. They're so stupid. And he blames it all on me for making him come back.
That's ridiculous.
Still, you are lucky to have him. I feel so desperate every day. Sometimes I even think of going back. Well, you're not.
Christina's two children are kneeling on the floor behind them.
What about a job? You could help me out organizing Diego's studio.
Where do I start?
Don't touch anything.
Diego.
He tosses down his newspaper with an irritated scowl and lumbers out.
Don't worry.
Frida follows him out. Christina stands in the middle of the untidy studio with one hand clasping the back of her neck as she looks around. At a fiesta, Christina's young son is having his face painted green by a street artist. Behind him, the coloured lights of a Ferris wheel shine out against the dark sky. His sister runs up with Frida, both carrying dolls and decorated carnival figures. All three duck, covering their faces as the sparks from a Catherine wheel shower down on them. Later, they tiptoe across the bridge towards Diego's house, Frida carrying a giant painted statue, pulling faces at the children. They creep into the gallery overlooking Diego's studio. Frida looks down to see Christina lying naked on top of Diego.
Go downstairs and play. Now! Now!
Frida hurls the wooden statue at Diego. As Frida runs down into the studio, Christina, covered in a sheet, flees. Frida hurls a glass jar at Diego's unfinished nude portrait of her sister.
Forget them, sister! They're an animal!
Frida, get out!
She sinks to her knees, sobbing. Later that night in her own house, she sits back in an armchair and stares at the wall in darkness. Diego, in a shirt and baggy trousers, hurries across the bridge between their two buildings and down a flight of steps to the glass doors of the room she's in.
Frida! Frida! I'm a beast. Yes. I'm an idiot, but it meant nothing, Frida. Nothing.
She turns her tear-stained face towards him.
Frida, talk to me.
She studies him for a moment and slowly gets up. Diego's expression lights up with the flicker of hope as she crosses to the doors and stands on the other side of the glass, facing him.
There have been two big accidents in my life, Diego. The trolley and you. You are by far the worst.
She turns and goes back to her chair. Wretched Diego slumps down on the steps outside the glass doors.
Ya me canso de llorar y no amanece.
From the hallway of a yellow painted townhouse, men with ropes and pulleys hoist Frida's bed up to the third floor. Frida, her monkey on her shoulder, watches as they bring it into her bare apartment. Later, wearing a mannish grey suit, her dark hair loose about her shoulders, she sits on a simple wooden chair in front of a mirror propped up on her easel. She takes a long swig from a bottle, puts it down on the table by her side, picks up a pair of scissors and starts hacking at her hair and drifting between the hair cutting and a drunken party at her new apartment.
Y agarraste por tu cuenta la parranda.
She swigs at the bottle. Frida, her hair now in a short bob, pulls away from her dancing partner, lurches towards an open window, and stares out into the night. As her gaze drifts down to the street, she sees Christina and her children in a car by the curb, looking up at Frida's open window.
Si tus caricias han de ser mías, de nadie más.
Frida shuts the window.
Get out!
Her guests start to leave.
Out! Out! Go!
Back in her man's suit, she cuts off the last of her long black tresses. Beside her on the wall is a self-portrait. In a man's suit, sitting on a chair, holding a pair of scissors, strands of black hair on the wooden floor. The frame of the painting looks like the doorway of an adjoining room, and as Frida walks away from the mirror, her self-portrait sighs, its chin slumping forward onto its chest. Frida, in her graffiti-covered flat, is with Lupe, who's prepared her some food.
It's a limp up three flights of stairs. I can't afford any furniture, and it's cold at night. But at least I know who's fucking who in my own house.
Diego's not giving you any money.
I'd rather be poor. She was my sister. Not some model. My own sister.
To hell with him.
To hell with him.
Find some work. Pay your own bills for a while.
I'll sell some paintings.
Not enough to cover your bar bill. No, don't get me wrong. I love your paintings. I'm just not sure you should count on them for a living. They're tough, you know. I mean, look at this. What the hell is this?
It was in the damn papers. A man stabbed his wife 22 times, and when the judge asked him why he did it, he said, but it was just a few small nips.
Frida, looking pale and ill, takes another swig. On the wall above her is a painting of a man sitting beside the bleeding body of a woman. Later, she wanders up the steps of the bare and neglected courtyard of her father's house. She peers in through the veranda window.
Who's there?
The ghost of Frida Kahlo.
Oh, I remember her.
How are you?
Lonely. Only you ghosts come to visit these days. So, how is your Diego?
I don't know why I called him that. He was never mine. Never will be. But he's fine. Painting, I guess.
And you? Are you also painting?
Yes. And I want you to pose for me. You don't even have to leave the house.
I want to leave the house.
All right, then. We'll go somewhere different every day.
Sounds good. You've painted everyone else in the family.
Yes. A long time ago.
She leans back against the sofa.
Remind me what I wanted then.
You wanted to be your own person.
Diego walks through a cemetery among a seated throng of mourners, each one holding a burning candle. Diego looks around him. Frida, her sad face illuminated by the candlelight, sits motionless, deep in thought. He comes up behind her.
Frida?
With her back to him, she sighs and looks down at her mother's gravestone lined with candles.
She never liked it, you know. She told me you would only bring me troubles.
Diego sits down behind her.
There is something I must discuss with you. A favor I need to ask of you.
You've got a lot of nerve to come here asking me to do you favors.
No, it's not for me. It's Trotsky. The Norwegians have expelled him. No other country will take him, and Stalin wants him dead.
I have appealed to President Cárdenas myself. They have granted him asylum here in Mexico. I want you to welcome him with me. Let him live in your father's house. I know it's a lot to ask, but this is a difficult transition for them. And you, Frida, you bring life and warmth to any place. Anyway, Trotsky is a very great man in enormous danger, and we have the opportunity to help him.
She looks up at him and nods.
Yes, all right.
A rifle is winched up to the roof of the Kahlo house. A man with a ladder almost blocks Guillermo's path.
Such commotion. I don't understand. Such a commotion for a philosopher.
A very great man, Papa. A true revolutionary.
It's an important service we're doing.
Mitchell, if you admire him, I want to advise him not to get involved in politics.
Politics are ruinous.
Good advice, Papa. I'm sure he'll agree.
At night, a horse-drawn carriage goes up the cobbled street past the Carlo house, with its windows bricked up. A convoy of motorcars appears from the other end. It stops outside the house where Diego is waiting. Leon Trotsky and his wife get out of one of the cars, guarded by men with rifles.
I regret it was not possible for me to meet you at your boat.
Natalia and I, we are deeply indebted to you for your generosity at these difficult times. Your charming wife, she has made the last leg of our trip such a delight.
We are profoundly honored to have you and your wife in our home.
Ay, Diego, they're starving. Let's feed them.
Ya usted no está preparado, Natalia.
Thank you.
Frida pats Diego on the back in a companionable way.
No, it's true. It's true. I could not believe it. These people are idiots. They scream about Hitler's aggression and then sing Stalin's praises. Aren't they the same creature?
Yes, but not exactly. Of course, they are both monsters, but Hitler, at least, is a madman with a vision.
Vision? He's insane.
Of course he is insane, but he has the ability to mobilize the people's minds, whereas Stalin, he is so dull. There is the brutality. But when you get right down to it, Stalin is nothing but a bureaucrat, and that is what is smothering our revolution. They are the same, but only in that the insanity of power has overruled them. And between them, they will consume the continent.
Madness.
Yes, but a challenge. Look at us. Mexican, Russian, French, in this wonderful new planet, River.
The guests raise their glasses.
I tell you this, my friends. In the experience of my lifetime, the failure and the pain have certainly outstripped the triumphs. But this has not only not destroyed my faith in reason, in truth, in human solidarity, but on the contrary, it has made it indestructible. I see the hope of the world in you. And from my heart, I thank you.
Na zdrowie!
Na zdrowie!
They all stand to drink the toast.
Imagine living your life like that, with a price on your head, and staying so calm.
Yes.
Diego bends down to kiss Frida.
Good night, Diego.
He stands rebuffed in the hallway. Frida's painting, The Suicide of Dorothy Hale, shows a skyscraper partially obscured by wispy white clouds, with a woman tumbling through the air from the top of it and lying dead at the base of the building. The artist, André Breton, puffing on his pipe, examines the canvas with interest. He moves on to a picture of a Mexican man and woman with a skeleton. Grey-haired Leon Trotsky in a navy blazer over white slacks adjusts his glasses as he takes a closer look at Frida's painting of a pair of bare feet in a bath, along with images and objects reflecting Frida's inner and outer life. Frida sits smoking with a monkey on her lap as the two men examine more of her work. Later, as an armed guard paces along the parapet...
Oh, stop it, Andre. I hate flattery.
I don't care. It is wonderful, wonderful work. You've seen all this, I take it.
Of course, I tell her all the time. Julian Levy took a couple of her paintings to New York and sold both of them. And she sold another four to that actor, the gangster.
Edward G. Robinson.
Yeah, for $200 apiece.
He was robbed. We haven't been able to fool anyone else. My little paintings can't mean anything to anyone but me.
Stop! Get down! They put him back by the door. Get back! Get back!
Inside, quickly.
Trotsky's hustled indoors.
Frida! What are you doing?
Wielding a gun, she goes out of the front door.
I give you 5 seconds to get out of here. One, two...
The two women dressed in black get up off their knees and scurry away.
It's all right, it's all right. Sorry about that. It was my mother's sisters.
What do you mean?
They were leaving icons and sprinkling holy water. They think this house is cursed and that you are the Antichrist.
Stop.
Frida grins. An open-topped car packed with Trotsky's armed guards leads a convoy of three vehicles along a dusty road lined with spiky Mexican cacti. The cars pull up near the base of one of the Aztec burial mounds. Trotsky and his wife walk across the Teotihuacan burial site with Diego. Frida, in a characteristic long outfit of red and black, follows behind with Breton.
I want you to think about it seriously. You could be part of the Mexican exhibition in Paris.
What I really want is a show in my own country.
Which they will give you once you become famous somewhere else. Your paintings should be seen.
So, who is coming up with me?
It's harder than you think.
Everything is harder than we think.
I'll go.
Are you sure?
If an old man can do it, why not a cripple?
As Frida and Trotsky start to climb one of the pyramids, two of the bodyguards run up.
No. It's okay. I don't think assassins are waiting at the top.
I'll race you.
Trotsky leans on his stick. Frida holds up her voluminous black skirt as they climb the steep steps. They stagger up to the top, Trotsky holding Frida's hand to help her. They stand high above the burial site.
Frida, how were you hurt?
I couldn't even tell you anymore. I've been caught into rebroken and reset so many times. I'm like a jigsaw puzzle. And all the operations have done more damage than the accident, for all I know. Everything hurts. But the leg is the worst.
She sits down on the top step and Trotsky joins her.
But I'm all right. At the end of the day, we can endure much more than we think we can.
He gazes at her admiringly.
That's what I loved about your paintings. That they carry that message. You said that nobody would care about them, but I think you are wrong. Because your paintings express what everyone feels. They are alone, in pain.
Maybe. Leon, tell me about your children.
My children. We knew the girls had been murdered and one of the boys. We thought the other was still alive in the prison. But that letter came. He was executed too. They are all gone. I have condemned my family. As I am condemned.
You mustn't say that.
But it's true. Stalin has more power than any Tsar. I am alone with few friends and no resources against the world's biggest killing machine.
He pulls himself up onto his feet.
So what can I do but keep on working? Living. You cannot imagine what a joy it is for me to be here. To see all this. It's the first time I felt like a real person in years.
Frida watches him in awe. Trotsky's car with its white wall tires pulls up outside Frida's house. The driver runs round to open the rear passenger door and Trotsky gets out. He signals to his two bodyguards to give him a few minutes. He passes under an archway into the courtyard. Frida, her dark hair loose on her shoulders, opens a glass veranda door to let him in. With a smile, he hands her a gift. And with a quick look behind him, he comes into her room, pointedly closing the doors behind him. He cups her head in his hands. She gazes up at him, adoringly. He embraces her and picks her up in his arms. In her bedroom, he lies on top of her, their mouths close together as they make love.
In his book, State and Revolution, Lenin purged from the genuine teaching of Karl Marx all the spurious ingredients introduced by the social democracy.
Back at her father's house, Frida brings Trotsky a tray of food and starts to go. He grabs her hand and pulls her to him. She tries to break free, but he goes on kissing her. Like a shy schoolgirl, she hurries away. Trotsky watches her go, slowly leaning back in his swing chair, an infatuated smile playing on his lips as he rocks the chair. Reluctantly, he picks up his dictating machine.
John, I am picking it up from Social Democracy.
In the courtyard, Diego is sketching Natalia Trotsky holding a cactus. Trotsky is scribbling a note.
Frida.
Frida comes down to join them. Natalia sees her husband slip the note into a book.
This is the book I mentioned. Tell me what you think.
Frida takes it with a polite nod.
I'll be back in an hour.
Natalia blinks unhappily. It's raining as Frida bursts into the kitchen with a basket of shopping. She listens to the angry voices in the next room. She sees Trotsky storm out. She sighs guiltily at the sound of the woman's tears.
No. It is better this way. We will stop disrupting your lives. We are not going far. Just around the corner.
I wish you would reconsider. If only for security.
We will be more than safe.
Trust me.
Do svidaniya.
Natalia nods curtly.
Many thanks, my friend.
Diego and Trotsky embrace warmly.
We'll see you soon.
Natalia.
Standing almost in silhouette, Trotsky and Frida look at one another, knowingly and wistfully. He bends down to kiss her cheek. Once, twice, three times. With a final long look, he leaves. Trotsky's car pulls away from the pink-walled Carlo house.
It makes no sense. It was for his own well-being.
He's not thinking of his well-being. He's thinking of hers.
What are you talking about?
Frida averts her eyes from Diego's.
I'm talking about somebody willing to sacrifice a little of their own pleasure rather than go and hurting the woman who loves him.
She turns on her heel and starts walking back to the house. Diego lopes after her.
Have you lost your mind?
Go to hell, Diego.
You know what the consequences of this could be?
He's not scared. Why should you be?
Oh, dear God, Frida, of all people, why?
Because we wanted to.
You've broken my heart, Frida.
He turns away from her, covering his mouth with his hand.
It hurts, doesn't it? But why? It was just a fuck, like a handshake.
No, I told you who I was when you married me.
Yes, you did, and I married you anyway. And you promised to be loyal. You've been my comrade, my fellow artist, my best friend. But you've never been my husband.
Ridoccia.
Her arms wrapped around herself, she limps off down the road. Postcard in brown and white sepia of the Eiffel Tower in Paris. A series of cards including the floodlit Arc de Triomphe, the Cathedral of Notre Dame. Frida, with an orange flower in her hair, makes her selection in a shop. Later, she sits at a sunny table in a Paris cafe, writing.
Dear Diego, how are you, Panson? Why didn't you tell me Paris was such a nightmare?
An exotic chocolate-colored singer in a slinky gold dress twirls and pouts as she sings.
The French are the most pretentious bores in the world. I'd rather sit on the floor of a market in Toluca selling tortillas than have to listen to the prattling of the artistic bitches of Paris.
Frida sits with two men in suits watching the glamorous singer. A gilded wrought-iron lift stops and several smartly dressed people get out. The tall singer in the slinky gown goes to leave the lift. Frida strokes her arm. The singer smiles seductively in response. Frida lies naked on her bed watching the singer peel off her satin gown, revealing her muscular body, and kneeling down to join her. The two bodies are entwined as they pleasure each other.
As much interest in the exhibition as Breton promised.
The exhibition is crowded. A man in a beret kisses Frida's hand.
Mexican artist?
are nothing but an exotic curiosity here.
A young man caresses her neck.
All in all, it's been lonely. And I crave news from home.
A glass of red is poured as she rereads her letter.
Diego, this letter is a lie. Paris has been good to me. But without you, it means nothing. All the rage of our 12 years together passes through me. And I'm left knowing that I love you more than my own skin. And though you may not love me as much, you do love me a little, don't you? If this is not true, I'll always be hopeful that it could be.
She seals her letter.
I adore you.
With a lipstick kiss.
Frida.
Diego in Mexico with a blonde has seen Frida on the cover of Vogue. Trotsky and his wife are blasted out of their bed onto the floor as the bullets riddle the room. Lying in each other's arms, they slowly stir and look up. Natalia presses herself against her husband. He enfolds her in his arms. A taxi pulls away from outside Diego's red-painted studio. Frida has come home.
There are rumors going around that I wanted Trotsky killed. We fought lately, it's true, but...
Diego and Frida are in a restaurant.
They may try to arrest me again.
Talk to the president.
No. No, I'm going to California.
California?
Yes. And Frida, I want us to divorce.
Frida's lower lip trembles.
For who? That American actress? Jesus, dear.
No, Frida, no. It will be better this way. We have both done better as friends.
I haven't.
You have. You're doing very well on your own. I'm proud of you. You don't need...
Enough. If you want to go, just go.
A wall of silence falls between them. Diego rises to his feet and leaves the restaurant, lit by a canopy of bare light bulbs. Frida doesn't look up. The barman slams the cork into the top of a bottle. Frida sits slumped on a stool in front of him, her head propped up on one arm. She raises her unhappy eyes as she becomes aware of a skull-like person sitting at a table behind her.
Me dicen el negro, llorona, negro, pero cariñoso.
As if in a trance, Frida picks up her glass and wanders over to the old woman singing. The woman lowers her shawl off her wizened face and pours Frida a drink.
Cariñoso. Yo soy como el chile verde, llorona.
Listlessly, Frida brings the glass to her lips.
Como el chile verde, llorona, picante, pero sabroso. Ay, de mi llorona, llorona, llorona.
Frida wanders back to her father's house. A pair of feet climb up a dark staircase. A door opens behind Trotsky. Frida opens a door, and a painting of herself in a white Mexican dress, her hands on her lap, looks up. Her double crushes a miniature of Diego in her hand. Spots of blood fall on white paper as Trotsky in his dark study starts to write the word communism. An ink blot spurts over the letters, obscuring them. A shadowy figure comes up behind him as he sits at his desk. Frida sits next to the image of herself, the two Fridas eyeing each other sternly. In the bar, tears roll down Frida's cheeks. The shadowy male figure places a tray on the desk next to Trotsky. With a skull-like face, the assassin raises his arm and butchers the Russian with an axe. Blood splashes onto Trotsky's manuscript. The painting of the two Fridas now shows them holding hands, each one with her heart visible on the outside of her dress. Frida sits at her table, staring up at her work.
Listen to me. I don't particularly care for Mr. Trotsky, but we can't go around having political refugees murdered in our country. Now, can we?
She sits in a cell under interrogation.
Once more, where is your husband?
I don't have a husband.
Her eyes are devoid of expression. The cell door opens and Christina is shown in.
Frida?
Frida sits in the gloom, deathly pale with dark rings under her eyes.
Oh my God. Christy.
Christina sinks down next to her sister.
I'm so sorry.
Her eyes full of tears, she lays her head on Frida's lap.
It was not your fault. It was mine. I should have never put you in a room with him.
The sisters walk arm in arm down the prison concourse.
What did you do to get me out of here?
Diego. He went crazy when he heard. He called President Cárdenas immediately.
Diego.
Frida's bag is strapped into a metal corset.
Not much more.
The doctor tightens the last fastening and sits down behind Frida. Christina wraps a shawl around Frida's shoulders and swings the stool round to face the doctor. He examines the toes on her right foot.
How long has your foot been like this?
Who knows? Let's take one disaster at a time. Just patch me up so I can paint, please.
These are gangrened. They'll have to come off. You're lucky it hasn't spread to your leg.
In her mind, Frida, in a white flowing skirt, runs barefoot along a rocky ridge. Her breasts protrude from the metal corset, with the vertical gunmetal handrail in place of her spine. She glares defiantly, her vision of herself becoming the painting. The inner workings of the metal spine start to crumble. Nails are stuck into her face and body. The eyes shed tears. Frida, wearing the corset, with a cigarette dangling from her mouth, puts the finishing touches to the painting. Sometime later, dressed totally in black, her hair loose around her shoulders, Frida sits in her wheelchair in the courtyard, one foot bound in a bandage. She's painting, a cigarette poised in one hand. A shadowy figure appears in the doorway. She turns her head and sees Diego. She looks away as he closes the door and comes into the courtyard.
You've lost weight.
You've lost your toes.
Is that why you're here? To offer your condolences?
I'm here to see how you are. How do you feel?
Tired of answering that question. Otherwise, like shit. How are you?
I'm here to ask you to marry me.
She lowers her eyes.
I don't need rescuing, Diego.
I do.
I've lost the toes of one foot. My back is useless. I have an infection of the kidneys. I smoke, I drink, I curse. I can't have children. I have no money and a stack of hospital bills. Should I keep going?
It's practically a letter of recommendation.
Tears well up in her eyes and she turns her head away.
Frida.
Diego kneels down beside her.
Frida.
He cups her chin in his hand and turns her face towards him.
I miss us.
They say you should never believe a limping dog or the tears of a woman.
They're wrong.
The grey-pink interior walls of the courtyard become bright cobalt blue. The flower beds are lush with vegetation. A peacock strolls along the flagstones. A covered barge bedecked with flowers floats on a river, with three musicians on board. Frida lies in Diego's arms on a nearby barge, on which a table has been laid for lunch. Husband and wife smile at each other, besottedly. Diego lies in Frida's arms, caressing her belly. At home in their brightly painted kitchen, with a maid hovering behind them and the monkey on the table, Diego spoon-feeds Frida. Lying on her bed with Christina beside her, Frida jiggles her skeleton puppets in a dance for a group of children sitting at the foot of her bed. Happy times are followed by days of pain in bed, a constricting neck brace while she paints, lying on her stomach. Food throwing tantrums in the courtyard. Diego tries to ignore Frida's outburst, but finally gets up from the table and goes.
Christina!
Christina hurries into her sister's bedroom, swiftly ties a tourniquet around Frida's arm, and injects her with a painkiller. The pain begins to ease off. Christina strokes Frida's head as she drifts off to sleep. Much later, Frida lies in her bed in a gold-patterned robe with her sketchbook open on her chest. Diego at the side of the bed reaches for the book and comes across a drawing of a pair of feet on a plate.
Feet, what do I need you for if I have wings to fly?
I want you to burn this Judas of a body.
I don't want to be buried. I spent enough time lying down. Burn it.
Frida.
I don't think I'm Frida anymore. I think all the Frida in me has disappeared. Look at what's left.
Diego, his brown hair now thinning and grey, sits on the bed, gazing at her devotedly.
What do you say?
He strokes her cheek.
You stupid girl.
She returns his look of love. Frida's doctor walks along the blue-walled courtyard.
No, Frida. No, we've been through all this before.
I'm going, damn it. Give me back my fucking leg. Doctor, please help me.
What's going on here?
I told her she had to stay in bed. She demanded we call you.
I'm going to my exhibition.
Frida.
I've waited for a show in my own country my whole life. I'm not going to miss it.
The doctor sits on her bed.
If the bronchitis gets worse, it will turn into pneumonia. Frida, under no circumstances are you to leave this bed.
I'll bring you back all the gossip, I promise.
She squeezes Diego's arms, then pushes him away. Her head slumps back on her pillow as Diego leaves.
Christina!
There was this skinny kid with his eyebrows shouting up at me, Diego, I want to show you my paintings. But of course, she made me come down to look. I did, and I've never stopped looking. But I want to speak about Frida not as her husband, but as an artist, an admirer. Her work is acid and tender, hard as steel, and fine as a butterfly's wing. Lovable as a smile, cruel as the bitterness of life. I don't believe that ever before has a woman put such agonized poetry on canvas.
Shut up, Batson. Who died?
Frida's bed, with its headboard covered in photographs, is carried into the packed gallery. A delighted Diego kisses her on the lips.
Where is the music? See, Dr. Zito, I followed your orders. I didn't leave my bed. Frida.
Hi, doctor. If you let me have this tequila, I promise not to drink at my funeral.
It's a deal.
To Frida!
To Frida!
Frida, her face pale, sips her tequila. A weak smile plays on her lips as her paintings process before her eyes.
Thank you.
on her bedside table, an empty syringe lies next to the tourniquet. Embroidered on her pillow, the words Duerme Amor Mio. Frida, in a white nightdress, lies still, her dark hair falling across her face. In her left hand, she holds a page of her sketchbook, in her right, a pen. Diego, with a pair of braces over his shirt, comes into the room.
Are you all right?
Lie down with me.
Weakly, she moves the sketchbook off the bed to give Diego room to lie down. He eases his heavy frame onto the bed beside her and lays his arms across her body. She reaches under a pillow, turns her head to look at him, and hands him a small gift box.
25 years together, mi Dieguito.
Frida.
He opens the box and takes out a ring.
Happy silver.
It's not for 2 more weeks.
17 days.
She closes her eyes, her head half turned away from him. Diego leans into her, looking deeply into her face, and holds her very tight. The final entry in her journal reads, "I hope the exit is joyful, and I hope never to return. Frida." A scale model of her four-poster bed floats out of Frida's imagination. With her dark hair loose around her shoulders on her white embroidered pillow, she lies on her orange bedspread, flowers laid across her. On the canopy above, a skeleton lies stretched out with a black bird sitting on its ribcage. Firecrackers set the skeleton and bed alight. As the yellow flames envelop the bed, a faint, momentary smile appears on Frida Kahlo's lips in what becomes her final work of art. This audio description was written and recorded by Veronica Hicks for IMS. Frida was directed by Julie Taymor, produced by Sarah Green, Salma Hayek, Jay Polstein, Liz Speed, Nancy Hardin, Lindsay Flickinger, Roberto Snyder. Executive producers Margaret Rose Perenchio, Brian Gibson, Mark Ammon, Mark Gill, Jill Sobel-Messick, Amy Slotnick. Music composed by Elliot Goldenthal. Director of Photography, Rodrigo Prieto, ASC, AMC. Production designer, Felipe Fernandez del Paso. Edited by Françoise Bonneau, ACE. Costume designer, Julie Weiss. Co-producer, Anne Roark. Special visual effects by Amoeba Proteus. And she's free to fly. Cast in order of appearance, Frida Kahlo, Salma Hayek. Cristina Kahlo, Mia Maestro. Maid, Amelia Zapata. Professor Alejandro Usili. Alejandro Alex, Diego Luna. Auditorium model, Lucia Bravo. Diego Rivera, Alfred Molina. Lupe Marin, Valeria Golino. Matilda Kahlo, Patricia Reyes Spindola. Nanny, Lolo Navarro. Guillermo Kahlo, Roger Rees. Painter on bus, Fermin Martinez. Tina Modotti, Ashley Judd. David Alfaro Siqueiros, Antonio Banderas. Tango singer, Lila Downs. Woman at wedding, Martha Claudia Moreno. Woman at wedding 2, Maria Ines Pintado. Lupe's maid, Aida Lopez. Chapingo chapel model, Ivana Sejenovic. Pulqueria singer, Diego Espinosa. Drunk young man, Ejecatl Chavez. Newsreel reporter, Elliot Goldenthal. Nelson Rockefeller, Edward Norton. Gracie, Saffron Burrows. Waitress, Didi Conn. New York reporter, Julian Sedgwick. New York doctor, William Raymond III. Priest at funeral, Jorge Guerrero. Isolda, Mary Luz Palacio. Leon Trotsky, Jeffrey Rush. Natalia Trotsky, Margarita Sanz. Andre Breton, Omar Rodriguez. Trotsky's armed sentry, Antonio Alvarez. Trotsky's armed sentry 2, Enoch Leano. Paris Chanteuse, Karine Plantadit Bajot, Death La Paloma, Chavela Vargas, Detective, Jorge Cepeda. Frida and Diego painting teams, head artist Mariano Grimaldi, Dionisio Ceballos, artists Neila Martinez, Daniel Salgado, Luis Garduño, Victor Salomon, Mariette Franco, Arturo Lascano, Alejandro del Toro, Alejandro Isita, Hospital Puppet Sequence, The Key Brothers. Music producer, Tease Goal for Goal McLaughlin. Recorded and mixed by Joel Iwataki. Orchestrated by Elliot Goldenthal, Robert Ehai. Orchestra conducted by Steve Mercurio. Electronic music producer, Richard Martinez. Recorded and mixed at Manhattan Center Studios, New York. Studios Churubusco, Mexico City. Zarathustra Hall, New York. Guitar soloist Francisco Pancho Navarro. Guitars Ernesto Anaya. Guitars on La Llorona, Oscar Ramos, Miguel Guarneros. Additional recording and mixing by Lawrence Manchester. Additional recording Mexico, Valeria Palomino, Lena Eskenazi. Additional music preparation, Winifred Kraus. Contracting and music preparation, Emil Chala. Music producers Mexico, Jacobo Lieberman, Leonardo Heilblum, Executive in Charge of Music, Randy Spendlove. Music Supervisors, Sarah Botstein, Jacobo Lieberman, Kathy Nelson. Filmed at the Institution de Cinema Azteca and on location in Mexico City, Puebla and San Luis Felipe. All reproductions of Diego Rivera and Frida Kahlo are authorized by the National Institute of Fine Art and Literature. And all original Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera artworks belong to the Banco de Mexico, Diego Rivera and Frida Kahlo Museums Trust, Mexico. With special thanks to Bob and Harvey Weinstein and Edward Norton. Copyright Miramax Film Corp, 2002.
Burn this house. Burn it blue.
This motion picture was created by Miramax Film Corp for the purpose of copyright law in the UK. While this motion picture is based upon a true story, certain characters have been changed. Some main characters have been composited or invented, and a number of incidents have been fictionalized. With Kodak, DTS, STDS, eFilm, and Dolby Digital for Miramax Films.